Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Rossman, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the month of August 2015, where it's actually August 3rd. Pamela Tor is still touring Europe at this time, and we'll actually have her on later this month for our shows. As you know, she usually co-hosts the show with me every month for what we call the main show, which is Spiritual Connections Radio. To find out more about this show and other shows, we actually normally are only on about once a month, particularly for this show. But we actually have some other guests that we kind of put in our schedule to make sure that we get to interview them this month. So to kind of check out who's coming up, the other shows, and all that great stuff, you can go to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. This evening, we have with us on the show Denise Fleet, and she comes to us with experience in coaching, particularly helping spiritual people like ourselves go through, different types of transitions, mostly the spiritual journey, and she's also an author and a reverend, and does cranial sacral work, and has a number of other gifts and everything, including energy work. This evening, we're going to be talking to her about the different ways that she works with people, her books, and all kinds of stuff like that. So with that, let me go ahead and just bring her on. Hey, Denise, great to have you on the show this evening.
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
Oh, thank you for being on. I know we've been trying to schedule this for quite a few months, and we had to kind of move a few things around, so I appreciate you being flexible and everything, because I've actually been traveling a lot this year, and matter of fact, I'm here for about a week, and then I'm back on the road again, so it's always an interesting journey for me. I just moved to Texas this year, so I'm experiencing my first Texas summer, and I thought that Florida was actually hot, being 99 and 100% humidity, until I got here and noticed that on average we've been running anywhere from 104 to 106. So just a new experience for me. How about yourself? Where are you on the planet?
I'm in the Chicago area, about 65 miles northwest of Chicago, in a little town called Sycamore. And we've actually been having a very pleasant summer this year, so can't complain here.
That's beautiful. Before we get started, why don't you go ahead and give people your website so they know where to find your services?
Absolutely. For my services, my regular website is denisevanvliet.com, and that's where I do my services for speaking and workshops and teaching engagements. And then for my services for body work and spiritual work, I know I didn't give that to you, it's inner-harmony-massage.com. So, but either way, get a hold of me, and both those websites are linked together as well.
Oh, that's excellent. I was going to say, I know that we have one of the links for your website on the Spiritual Connections Radio website, so if anybody missed the link or anything like that, or if you're listening to the replay, you can go up to the website, and her link for one of her web pages is up there, and then from there, as she said, you can actually get to her other one. So great way to be able to find you and your services. And I know, one of the things I was talking about before the show got started is we were talking about how great it is that one of the gifts that you have is your ability to help spiritual people who are in transition. I know that there's a lot of different people such as myself who have gone through quite a few years of what we call the dark night of the soul, a lot of growth, a lot of all kinds of interesting experiences. For me, that for part of that journey included me being homeless. I was out of work for a number of years, and it's just an interesting journey I think a lot of us go through. For some people, it's sickness and everything else you can imagine in between. And we were kind of talking a little bit before the show about how recently there's been what I've noticed, at least by monitoring probably about 500,000 spiritual people around the world from Facebook, is that there's a lot of different people that are in crisis right now. So So just for a minute here, I'd just like to send out a lot of loving energy and prayers and support to anybody that's listening to the show or anybody that's not listening to the show that's on their spiritual journey and needs that extra support at this time. So with that, we'll just send out that love and energy to everybody. Before I get too far ahead of myself, because I get really excited once I start getting into talking about you, Denise, and your journey, I'm going to give out the phone number because we also talked before the show started about taking some callers tonight and see if we can either A, have you kind of feel into their energy and kind of help them in aspects of that, and we'll talk a little bit about what that would look like as far as you've helped, how you've helped other people as far as using that gift. And then also we'll, for anybody who's, you know, like I said before the show, kind of in a spiritual transition and feels stuck or and everything like that, if we can give you, you know, a little bit of coaching. We just want to remind everybody, we want to kind of keep the questions short and everything because we will have a lot of callers. And we want to kind of make sure that we are able to help as many people as possible. And, you know, highly recommend you check out our website if you want to dig deeper into a lot of what might be going on with you. So with that, probably in about a half an hour or so, you can start calling in at 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. You can call in and we'll put you on with Denise and myself, and you know, you can ask what you want to ask and we'll kind of see how that goes. So with that said, Denise, you know, tell me, I mean, how did you get started on the spiritual journey?
It started on the day I turned 35. I'm 49 now, but I got a call from my doctor because I had just had a biopsy, and the doctor called me directly. You know, when the doctor himself calls, you know it's not good news. But he let me know that I have cancer. So it's like, you know, in that moment, you start to go through all kinds of stuff in your mind and in your body, and how could this be? Why me? And all that stuff. And as I went through the process, you know, I realized that up until that moment that I got cancer, looking back on my life, I realized that all the choices that I made up until that point, I had a choice there. I could blame it on the cancer, or I can blame it on something else, or I can start to take responsibility for all of my choices and the consequences that come with it. It was a very tough thing to do because getting cancer is, to some people, it's like a death sentence. And so I had stage 4 cancer, and I was pretty much given a 50-50 chance. And it's so easy to focus on that 50% chance that you're going to die. The hard part is focusing on the 50% chance that you can live and live a life not being afraid of getting cancer again, just being in the moment and loving the moment that you're in. That was a huge shift for me. And so I went through the process and I started to notice things and ask questions. That's key right there, is really, really, really ask questions. No matter what the topic is, if something within you doesn't feel right, ask questions. And so the doctor was telling me, well, we're going to send you for a biopsy and they're going to inject you with radioactive dye. And once the biopsy comes back, we'll determine whether or not you're going to have radiation and or chemotherapy. And so as the doctor saying this, just something inside me, that little gut nudge, you know, that little nudge inside that just said, you know, this just doesn't sound right. So I said to him, you know, I'm going on vacation with the kids, you know, I'll come back. He goes, oh, no, we have to get this done now and all this stuff. He was very rushed. And I said, you know, let me think about it. I did get a second opinion and I decided not to go that route. And it was one of the most difficult decisions. Now, this is a very personal decision. If anybody's dealing with cancer, very personal. This is something that you need to talk to your doctors about and go inside and make that decision for yourself. And for me, I went inside and felt, I need to do something different other than what they're telling me, because there's choices here that I'm just not, I don't have access to. So what I did was I just removed the tumor. and I worked with an oncologist that was willing to work with me and get checked out like every 3 months for the first year, then 6 months, then a year, and after 5 years, I was cancer-free. So I pretty much was told, you know, hope you never see you again. But when I told the doctor I was not going to go that route, he told me that I could be dead in 2 years. And so that was 14 years ago. So since then, I thought, okay, my body is telling me something. It's telling me something on deep levels. And there's more to this reality that we live in than just what we can sense with our five senses. There's so much more. And so I began to do things like I took Reiki, and then I started practicing on myself and then practicing with doing it for others. And then I took yoga, and then I became a teacher of yoga and taught yoga for 10 years. And so I started kind of feeling, you know, what's out there, what's available to me that can connect me on these different levels, which I didn't know at the time was a mind, body, and spirit level. And in our reality right now, we really only focus in on the mind. And so that kind of was the catapult, I guess, to getting me into this realm. And before then, I was very business oriented, very much involved in my church, very busy all the time with my business and what have you. And, you know, other than church, spirituality was something that, you know, you practiced on Sundays and that kind of stuff. And to me, since getting cancer, spirituality has become a way of life.
Wow. So, you know, I guess one of the things I always wonder, because I know with a lot of different people I've worked with or talked to, there seems to be like a smoking gun or some root cause that the cancer was coming from. You know, you don't have to go into too many private details, but were you able to kind of uncover the root of the cancer?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I, like a lot of us, you know, I grew up in an environment that sometimes wasn't so loving, and experienced some things in my life that brought me a diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder. So I know before the diagnosis of cancer, I did not have very positive thoughts for myself, and that was number one. I did not have love for myself, for sure. My husband would say, I love you, honey. In my mind, I'd say, yeah, right, I'm a fat, ugly pig. You know, inside my mind, you know, the words we say to ourselves, we're more abusive than ourselves than we would ever be to anybody else. And so when getting cancer and learning the mind, body, spirit aspect of it all, I really had to go inside and find love for self. I had to. It was life or death for me. And not just life or death on this physical realm, it was life or death on all other realms as well, because I was cutting myself off from myself. And so I think that was pivotal for me.
Mm. Yeah, I strongly believe, you know, kind of like what you've been leading to, which is that any type of trauma, or I would even go even closer to saying any type of unresolved emotion that doesn't get resolved in some way or released, basically will eventually manifest in some form of disease. And at least that's my own belief on my, you know, what I've seen on my journey.
Oh, I totally agree with that, and there are many others out there that will agree with you 100%, because when we have something that comes up emotionally or we experience something emotionally, the first thing we want to do is not feel it anymore. So we want to suppress that emotion. And then as we push it down on the inside, it will manifest itself in our material world, in our external world. But once we take a look at it and that emotion comes up and we're in a safe place and we know that these emotions aren't going to do, you know, anything to us, but take a good look at them and then thank them, love them, thank them for the experience. And I know, like, if you've been raped or had a traumatic experience, we all come here for experiences And as we look back on those experiences and the emotions and the trauma that we experience, getting through that is what brings us to higher levels, rather than holding on to the experience and identifying ourselves with it, which makes us the victim of the experience, as opposed to embracing the experience. You know what? That was my experience. These emotions that are coming up are my emotions. And if it wasn't for that experience, I would have never experienced these emotions. And I would not be able to connect with others who have also experienced these things on such a deep, profound level.
I do have to agree with you, and I was really happy to hear that you didn't go with a canned, step by step. Okay, you got this, so now you got to go do this and this. I am a true believer that that once something does manifest in the body, because of the buried emotion or trauma, that you normally want to make sure that you're teaming up with an East-West team of using regular, in some situations it could be chemo, it could be surgery, it could be some form of medical intervention, along with using other modalities and stuff like that, and also, like you said, kind of questioning or just basically kind of going outside the box. I mean, it seems to be that, like, it seems standard that, it's like, okay, you got cancer, well, you got to do chemo. Well, no, you don't have to do chemo. There's other options, and you really should kind of check out all your options before you just take this canned response from somebody who,
And unfortunately, our options are not always provided to us by the medical field, and that's very unfortunate.
Kind of going back to root cause again, I know for a lot of my journey, sometimes the biggest challenge is trying to figure out what exactly is going on. So, to kind of set up a little bit of a scenario and kind of talk to this particular point, I would ask you, what do you usually recommend when you're working with somebody where they're like, well, I'm sick, I don't feel too happy, but I'm not quite sure what's going on. They don't have anything coming directly to mind of, some type of abusive relationship or some kind of sexual abuse when they were a child or, something like that. I think for a lot of us on the spiritual journey, sometimes we get into those places where maybe we're even being blindsided by ourselves. And I'm just wondering, what does that discovery process look like? Or do you think it's not even necessary to figure out, okay, well, you were abused when you were a child, and this is just unresolved anger or whatever because of that? Because I know there is some healers out there that believe that you really don't need to know what the root cause is. You just kind of, you do the spiritual healing and whatever to release it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where cranial sacral therapy comes in. I do see a lot of clients here at my home. I live in the woods out in the middle of nowhere. But cranial sacral therapy works with the central nervous system. And a lot of times when we have some kind of trauma, that trauma can be encapsulated somewhere in the body energetically. And so what cranial sacral therapy does is it works with the cranial sacral system, the rhythm of the cranial sacral system. It's kind of like the heartbeat of the nervous system. That's what I like to call it, because people are like, what is the cranial sacral system? Well, our heartbeat has its rhythm. It has everything that goes along with it. And same with the cranial system. It has a rhythm of expansion and contraction. And in cranial sacral, we can actually reset it or release it. And so I'll look for these energetic places in the body. And sometimes, as soon as I touch it, and very lightly, cranial sacral, very light touch, sometimes as soon as I touch it, memories will come back. So I know, because a lot of our memories are held in our cells within the body. So we'll do what's called, we'll talk to the inner physician. That's what Dr. Upledger used to call it, because I'm trained through Dr. Upledger. The inner physician, and I'll literally have dialogue with this inner physician. I'll ask the person on the table, is it okay to talk to, let's say my hands are on the liver, is it okay to talk to your liver? Can I talk directly to your liver? And yeah, absolutely. And so while the person is in a very relaxed state, I may ask questions to the liver, and the person on the table is sometimes shocked by what comes out of their mouth, like they couldn't believe it. But this is direct communication with the subconscious through the nervous system. So that's one of the things that I do. And so even though the person may have, because I've experienced this myself, I have intellectually, or I had intellectually forgiven someone in my family that did something to me many years ago when I was like 12 years old. So intellectually I forgave this person, okay? But it was still in my body. And so about, I want to say about 5 years ago, I went to an in-depth training on Sonoma release. That's releasing these types of energies that are encapsulated in our bodies. I myself was on the table, and it was, and practitioners were practicing on me. And there was this huge release that went down into my hip and then out my leg. And all these memories started flooding back about this person, and I kept saying, but wait a second, I've intellectually gotten past this. You know, in my mind, I've gotten past this. And I was told by the instructor, you know, our bodies hold on to these things. And so if you're dealing with stuff in your body, just pay attention to that area of the body. Just relax and focus in on it, and then ask your body, what is this? What can I do for you? And the next thing you know, you may have a picture come up in your mind, a memory come back. And this is when you have an opportunity to take this moment to release this energy rather than continue to suppress it. So that's usually where I start off with. Now, knowing the reason or knowing, again, I'm going to say it doesn't matter what's in the head. It's what's going on in the body.
Yeah, very good point. I think another aspect, and you kind of touched on it earlier, it's something that I've experienced in my own journey, and that's that inner hate dialogue or that inner not really knowing how to love ourselves. And, you know, I think for a lot of people on the spiritual journey, we talked earlier about, well, sometimes it's figuring out what's underneath the surface that's causing the problems. I think another phase for spiritual growth for people is, okay, I've identified, you know, that I have abandonment issues, or that I have self-love issues, and I need to work on that aspect. So, you know, one of the things I was wondering is, what is your recommendation for people who need to learn how to deal with that inner dialogue? A, and B, how do you love yourself? What does that look like? Because a lot of people don't talk about that.
How do I love myself? You know, it's a process. It really is. And I've been married to my guy now. We just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. And so it hasn't been an easy 30 years. But in the beginning of our relationship, he would tell me, you're beautiful. And I would say, yeah, right, and just kind of shove it off to the side. But once I started really loving myself, and that can start anywhere. It can start on the mind level, the body level, or the spiritual level. And you start by liking one aspect of yourself. Like if you have beautiful eyes, start loving your eyes. And get pretty glasses for your eyes. And do makeup if you're a woman or like guy, like to wear makeup. Do things for yourself that show action toward the love of self. And then you start doing things like taking better care of your body. And you might notice a flaw in the mirror. Like I started noticing flaws in the mirror. Then I started to question, why do I think that's a flaw? Oh, it's because I've been programmed as to how a woman should be beautiful as opposed to seeing what's in the mirror and what I see is beautiful. And so I started to question my own programming. Then I started to realize a lot of the times why I didn't love myself is because I was looking for approval from others. Once I got approval from others, then I was able to like myself a little bit because I got their approval. And women tend to do this a lot. This tends to be very much women-oriented, but guys do it too. They're looking for approval sometimes from each other. So that's really where it starts, with self-love. Now you get to a point where, you know, I won't do anything to this temple that my spirit resides in, knowingly that it's going to do something to harm my temple. Just like if you have a beautiful home, you're not going to do something to your home that's going to damage it in any way. And so you begin to do things, because love is not just only an idea, it's an expression. So you want to express yourself and do things from that place within that allows you to take care of yourself and love yourself, and just a feeling of being okay in this moment.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I definitely agree with you. I mean, I think for myself, my own journey looked a lot like that too, and that is, you know, I started with the practical stuff. Well, how can I love myself? Well, I can love myself by going to the doctors and getting a checkup, because I let that go. I let my health go for a couple of years. I hadn't been to the gym, you know, and, you know, because of it, I put on some extra weight, and, I had some high blood pressure problems, and I knew that if I lost some weight and got my body into eating more of what the body wanted to eat versus what I wanted to eat for my emotional eating, that I could take care of myself in that way, and going for a dentist appointment. And, you know, then from there it started to stem into telling myself I love myself and not allowing other people to determine how I felt. Because I think for a big part of my life, you know, I let a lot of other people determine who I was and how I was going to show up. And, you know, it's not that I don't have compassion for people and what they're going through in their life, but I don't let outside influences outside my life influence who I am. And I think for a long time there.
That's very difficult to do, because we live in a world that is so full of stress. And so when you're in that state of stress, it's very difficult to love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then I was following some teachings of Matt Kahn, and I learned a simple technique where you simply just tell yourself a few times a day that you love yourself. And I have to be honest with you. When I first started doing this, I thought it was the most stupidest thing I had ever heard of. And I did it and did it and did it. And then after a certain point, I noticed my ego was having a little bit of issues with it. So I kept on doing it. And it's something as simple as just turning to yourself and just saying, hey, Mark, I love you, or I love myself, or whatever it works for you. And I kept on doing that over and over again. And then what I would notice is anytime that I felt insecure with somebody, the first thing I would do is go inside myself and tell myself I love myself. And I kept on doing that over and over again, and eventually it just fully integrated, and I was like, wow, what a beautiful gift to have that was just so simple to do. And
absolutely.
Now, we had talked earlier about some of the self, you know, that negative self-talk, that chatter we have in our heads. What did you do, or what do you coach people on as far as how to deal with that?
You know, I learned through a shamanic ceremony that breath is directly related to thought for me. And this was a teaching that was given to me during this ceremony. What I mean is, let me back up a little bit. I taught yoga for 10 years. And I taught yoga through the regular fitness industry. So it was basically yoga for everyone. If you go to any health club, you can take these yoga classes. And so one of the things that I was trained to do was teach people to take in a big breath. So I'm sure if you take a yoga class or take some kind of relaxation class, the first thing the instructor will say, okay, everybody, take in a big breath, right? I was shown that big breath does a number of things in the body. And one of them is basically fuels the fire to make the thoughts go faster. So what I did was I did a lot of research on breathing and all the different breathing exercises, including in some of the old yogic and Ayurvedic breathing books. And it's interesting because in today's world, we're encouraged to take deep breaths. But 6,000 years ago in India, they're encouraged to slow down their breath, take in less air. So what's going on here? So I started experimenting on myself. I would do exercises to reduce my breath. Next thing you know, I had barely any thought, and my body was completely relaxed. Then I went back to the old way, taking in a deep breath, taking in lots of breath where you can hear the breathing. And next thing you know, I'm feeling a little anxious, and my thoughts are racing. So I started getting into more of the breath work and studying more of that. And I've been working with several people on reducing their breath and reducing their anxiety and reducing their thoughts by reducing your breath. I know it seems contraindicated. And so the dream I had in the vision that I had was of a fire, and you're trying to start a fire. If you've ever tried to start a fire and you blow too much air on it, it goes out, right? Well, our breath is also our metabolism. And so if I'm blowing heavy or breathing heavy, I'm pretty much putting out fire because I have the gas levels in the lungs and in the blood are off. It's hyperventilation is what it is. It's low-level hyperventilation. So if you're constantly breathing heavy, you're increasing stress in the body, increasing inflammation, lowering your CO2 levels in the blood, which causes anxiety right there. That's documented. That's medically documented. And I can give you references if you need, if anybody wants references. So these things, and so I began to do exercises where you sit and completely relax and then begin to slow down your breath. And you get to a point where you're taking a small inhale, and all the breath is always through the nose. You take a small inhale, and then you allow the body to passively exhale. In other words, you're not exhaling. You relax and let the diaphragm slowly exhale. And so as you exhale, tell yourself, relax deeper, relax deeper, relax deeper. And so about 10, 15 minutes into it, you're going to notice as you take a small breath in and then relax, exhale out, you'll notice that before you take your next inhale, there's this space. You're not exhaling and you're not inhaling. And that's when the body and the mind and the spirit all connect. That's when you can go even deeper into relaxation before you take your next inhale. And it could be many seconds. You could be completely relaxed. And so it's in that space, I call it spirit space. And that space is where you can really slow down the thoughts, reduce stress in the body, reduce cortisol and adrenaline in the blood, and have phenomenal thoughts and ideas and creativity and what have you just by slowing down your breath. And it's doing the opposite of what everybody else is doing.
You know, let me go ahead and just take a quick break, and then I'll come back. Hold on. So for everybody, if you're tuning in, you're listening to the main show on Spiritual Connections Radio. We're on once a month. Normally I have my co-host Pamela Tour, who's actually traveling through Europe right now, and who will be back on the air with me later later this month. To find out more about this show and other shows, or for links for our guest Denise this evening, and I did add your second link up on the website already. So you can get to her either of her websites off of our page, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. We normally don't take callers this evening, but we are actually going to take some callers, and I see a couple of you in the call queue, so we'll actually pull you in a minute. You can call in and ask Denise questions about coaching or anything related to energy in the body, and we'll talk about that in a second, Denise. But the number to call in is 646-716-9663. Before we get to talking about your books, as far as, you know, the last one that you published and everything, talk a little bit about someone who calls in and wants to ask a question about the energy in their body and, like, how you normally work with people with those type of questions.
So if somebody's calling in and they're wanting some energy work, it really depends on, you know, I just start asking questions. Tell me what's going on with you. And the more they talk, the more I can tune in and just kind of feel where they are. And when I'm feeling them in my own body. And so a lot of my past experiences, and you can call them negative if you want, but today I call them positive, and it's because of my past experiences that I'm able to tune in and pick up these energies within people. And so a lot of times if I'm on the phone with somebody, I can tune into them, and a lot of times the words are not only for their mind, but it's also for their subconscious as well, because we're dealing with the whole package, the mind, body, and the spirit. And so a lot of times I'll feel where those blocks are in the body, and I can feel like even within you, it feels like, any stomach issues with you going on lately? So that's what I begin to do. So I start to feel like in my stomach area, I was tuning into you, I'm sorry, in my stomach area, it's like I've been having problems, you know, upset, kind of stuff, maybe dealing with a bug possibly, and also it feels like you're dealing with some deadlines, so that could affect, you know, that willpower area, the third chakra area. Wearing some yellow, eating foods that are yellow, kind of stuff, bone broth, you know, that's kind of how it goes,
we'll be doing that on the air with people this evening, and thank you for that. And also, you know, anybody who is kind of like on the journey and feels a little stuck and isn't quite sure what to do to kind of empower themselves to move to the next step, we'll kind of talk about that. Because that's part of what you do in the coaching that you do, is that you work with spiritual people who are on the journey and need a little help or guidance in empowering themselves.
Absolutely. And sometimes they don't know they're on a spiritual journey. But yes, absolutely.
So true. You know, just going back before we talk about your book, I think one thing I want to point out to people too is notice where you're holding your breath. Because I think a lot of people notice that sometimes, especially when they're in some type of situation, or they're in a fight or something, I've even seen it during sex. So just watch situations where you just stop breathing and, you know, make sure you bring yourself back into that breath again.
Mm-hmm.
So your book, let's talk about your book.
Yes, The Way of the Modern Mystic, One Who Sees the Extraordinary in the Ordinary.
And yeah. I know you have a couple other books, so why don't you go ahead and mention those too?
My first book is, I hope it's okay to say this word on the air, Embrace the Bitch Within, and bitch is actually an acronym. It's not the word bitch. It's my acronym for being in total connection with herself. And so that's pretty much my story of from the diagnosis of cancer through all of the tools that I use to help get myself through it and to heal myself.
So I'm assuming those are all available on Kindle. You can get them off of Amazon. You can order them through Barnes & Noble.
All of the above, yes.
Excellent. So going back to your last book before we start taking callers, what's the audience for this? You know, and I don't mean this in a sarcastic way, but why would I read the book?
I think a lot of it might have to do with maybe – you know, looking for tools, you know, what are the stages to awakening and beliefs and stories? What are these beliefs and what are these stories? I call them BS. Why should we question our beliefs? Why should we even question the stories that we hold on to? What is compassion? I'm just kind of going through the table of contents here. And it's basically I don't want to say that I woke up, but definitely something happened, and I've been on this path of the light inside become brighter and brighter. the light turned on, let's just say that, within the third eye, and the third eye completely open. That's usually the first indication that somebody's on this path. They're on the spiritual path. And you know what? We all are on this spiritual path. But somebody who is starting to wake up and see this reality for what it really is. And the things that we get hung up on, like in my book, Embrace the Bitch Within, there's a chapter on, I call NPS. That's a diagnosis of NPS, the need to please syndrome. And so how do we get over that? How do we get beyond that so that we can go deeper on our journey of healing and then begin to heal others? Because once we heal, it's almost like we become the anchor as opposed to trying to get anchored. It feels like there's a whole bunch of us that are like anchorless, whipping around the wind. And then once we get anchored, we're able to help others get anchored.
Did I see something up on one of your websites that said, Happy Birthday, You Have Cancer?
Yes, that is only a Kindle book. And that is basically Embrace the Bitch. It was a marketing suggestion because some women are offended by the word bitch. So I did Happy Birthday, You Have Cancer, and it's the same story.
Oh, okay.
It's basically the same story with the marketing of taking out the word bitch, because my intention is not to offend anybody. So if somebody's offended by a word on the cover title, but maybe they need the message, then I change the title.
Very good. Hey, I'm kind of doing solo this evening, so I need to kind of go in the back room and just get a few names of some callers while we do that. So while I'm doing that, why don't you talk about your website for your mind body, and talk about the type of coaching services that you offer and how people can do it, and I assume you do it remotely. So why don't you talk about that for a few minutes, and I'll be right back.
Absolutely. So on my website, it's denisevanvliet.com, and, you know, I offer various services, whether it's online or what have you, for coaching. Coaching services meaning mind, body, and spirit. What are you doing for the mind? What are you doing for your body? What are you doing for your spirit? And it's all tailored for you. Sometimes we just need another set of eyes to peek into our situation, to give us maybe a different direction, to give us some insight. I have my own coaches. We all need each other, and I really do believe that that's the reason we're here, is to serve each other and to have an attitude of selfless service for each other. And I do a lot of work with women who have experienced maybe sexual assault or domestic violence. That's pretty much my specialty, or are going through or have gone through cancer. Because a lot of times, you know, we're just so overwhelmed with, you know, this information, and everybody's, you should try this and you should try that and what have you. What I do is I talk to your body and I ask your body, what do you need? What can I do for you? And it's interesting because a lot of times when we start to go inside, we're thinking that we're going to have these brilliant answers come back. Sometimes the answers come back, and it sounds like it's coming back from a child. So that's when I know that I'm speaking to the inner child, and that's when you want to speak to the inner child like a child and talk to it. What would you like, sweetie? What can I do for you? Those kind of things, because this opens up love within and opens up to a feeling of taking in this energy and expanding it within our heart. And so I know with websites and stuff and long-distance stuff, energy is such a beautiful thing. We could be 2,000 miles away, or you can be right here in my office and have this kind of connection on such a deep level and guide you down deeper level, taking the breath, taking what foods maybe. Sometimes a lot of our blocks can be what we're voluntarily putting into our body. And so the body will let me know this. And being, sorry, I lost my train of thought, Mark.
Oh no, I was just agreeing with you. All great ideas, and thank you for letting people know how they can get a hold of you. I know, I like anything that makes my life easier. So it's really great when you can find a coach like yourself that's available, and specifically one who uses her gifts and everything to help people who are kind of on the path and need that hand, you know, need that empowering, you know, as they go on their journey. So, you know, I think Blog Talk must have hiccuped because I just saw a whole bunch of callers drop off. I have Mike on hold. We'll bring him on the air in a minute. So, Mike, I didn't lose you. So hang in there. And, you know, I guess, you know, let me make sure I'm kind of covering the bases because there was a couple other questions I wanted to ask you, and that is, you know, we talked about the importance of breath as far as connecting with spirit. And I know we kind of went around and around in circles on a couple different things, but we were talking about everything starts with self. And, you know, we talked about how important it is to love thyself and everything like that. You know, one of the key concepts that we were talking about when we were putting the notes together for the show, we were talking about the one who heals self becomes the healer. So let's talk about that for a few minutes.
Well, I know that at age 35, there was no way I could be a healer. At that time, I was in chaos. I was in distress. But when I start to learn what it is my body needs and I'm able to heal on those levels and I allow the body to tell me what it needs and I allow the process for that and the healing to take place. Many of us, we want that quick fix. We want that pill. We want it all taken care of right now, and we don't want the responsibility of going inside and doing the work. The work itself is very difficult. It's not easy work, but it's very doable. And so once you heal from the inside, you are now the healer. Healer, heal thyself. Was that Socrates, I believe? Healer, heal thyself. And so once I have the tools that I know how to heal myself, then I'm able to share that. And I only share that when people come to me. That way, that tells me the energy is ready. Healing is about to happen.
It's funny. I think as spiritual people, we want to spend a lot of our time just trying to offer help for people. But I think the key concept really is really just not, you know, really offering help anybody unless they come forward and ask for it.
Absolutely.
Mm. All right. Let's go ahead and bring Mike on and see what kind of question he has. Hey, Mike. Thanks for calling into the show this evening. So do you have like an energy body question, or are you on the spiritual journey and you're looking for some how to unstick yourself? Talk to us.
Well, I was curious actually addressed the kind of issue that's on my mind right now. I hear a buzzing noise in the background. Actually, there it goes. It just stopped. Anyway, my question is relevant to, I guess, attracting what it is that we want in our lives. How does our energy level change in doing that? I don't know. Does that question make sense?
So you're looking to attract something in your life, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You want something in particular. You have this desire for something. What I'd like you to do is just sit and slow down your breath for a minute. Just kind of breathe through the nose only and just sit and relax. Now imagine, if you will, this desire that you have. What kind of emotions come up as you think about this desire? What comes up? Do you feel happy that you're getting it? Or tell me about this desire, you know, what it feels like.
Very happy. I'm relieved, like a weight's been lifted off of my shoulders.
Okay, so now imagine yourself already with this thing that you want. You already have it. Now what are you feeling?
Gratitude for sure.
Okay, hold on to that gratitude feeling as if you already have it. Not that it's somewhere out in the future. See, that's the thing is we think, okay, I want this, and then we put it somewhere in the future, And it becomes the rabbit chasing the carrot. It's always out into your future. If you bring it into your now, like you already have it, you already know what it feels like to have it, it's already there waiting for you, it's there. It's there, period. Then it will manifest. But if we're constantly wanting it, desiring it, we put it just a little bit out of our reach in time, and it's constantly out of our reach. It's like almost right there all the time because we're putting it in our subconscious as something we're going to get in the future. So the subconscious only knows right now. It doesn't know past or future. It only knows right now. So in your mind, right now, I already have it. Oh my God, I'm so grateful I have this thing in my life. Thank you. Thank you for this thing that is already in my life. Now, obviously, you have to feel it as if it's already happening. You can't kind of fake this one because it's all energy. The energy has to have that vibration that's going to match what you're looking for. So how does that feel?
Good. And it's funny that you mentioned that because I've been doing that for a while, but I guess I wasn't doing it right. And now that I am doing that, I feel like things are progressing so rapidly in a good way. Definitely.
Right. And you know what? Just as a reminder, there is no right and wrong. There just is. And so before, your is was putting your desire ahead of you time-wise. Now your is putting your desire in the now. So there is no right or wrong. It's just that's the way you were doing it. Doesn't matter. Now you're doing it. See what I mean? It's just a little bit of shift in your thinking to shift your energy because then now your energy is not thinking, oh, I'm not doing it right. Am I doing it wrong? No, it just is.
Okay.
Hey, Denise, something else I'd like to add for Mike is something I learned when I was going through, you know, my process of bringing abundance in when I was out of work for 2 years. And that is losing the concept that it has to show up a specific way. I mean, for a long time when I was unemployed, I expected that the only way I was going to have abundance in my life was to go out and get a job. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing that, and there is some action you need to take. You know, you can't just sit at home and not send your resume out and expect you're going to get a job. But, you know, expecting that the job is going to show up and that's going to be your abundance, when during that process, I would see a lot of what I would call earth angels. I had friends that would just send me money out of the blue or would contact me for a service out of, you know, something they needed to work on. Or I actually have all different things, and to this day, I still have no idea what happened. I checked with my CPA, and he could never give me an explanation, but the IRS sent me a check for $8,000 one day. You know, so things happen in the universe, and if you're specifically, because we're very, very powerful with our energy, more so than we realize, especially when we believe something is not going to happen, and we're creating those waves out in the pool of creation, and that is, you know, being so tied to how it's going to show up. So as you allow the universe to kind of show up and manifest things in your lives and to, you know, to allow that focus to be wider than what you would normally do. I think another example is when I was looking for a partner in my life, someone I could be experiencing life with, you know, you could call it a date or somebody I was in a relationship with. You know, I had this mindset of this prophecy or everything that it was going to be a blonde-haired woman. And, you know, I had all these beautiful brunettes coming into my life, and I'm like, nope, that's not it, that's not it, that's not it. And basically, in a way, pushing away all these different things the universe was sending me. And I think there's a couple different things I've learned in my experience going through some pretty dark times in my life. The first is every prayer that you send out is answered. It can be answered right away. It can be answered longer than you expected. There doesn't seem to be any timeline or reason behind the way things are manifested, but everything is manifested. And if you keep a prayer journal, you will notice that everything you ask for is answered. It just won't be sometimes in the way that you expect it. That's the second aspect. The second aspect is letting go of it has to show up this way. It has to be this way. you know, because the more you do that, you know, if you had a billion options in life and all of a sudden you said, well, you know, the person I'm going to date has to live in my neighborhood, has to have this income, has to have this education, you just basically ruled out like 10 million people, you know, just by, you know, just kind of narrowing down your focus. So, and I think another thing is just realizing that everything does unfold and that you're always going to be taken care of. So kind of losing that hard attachment to, oh my goodness, I'm in crisis, I don't know what to do, and I'm really worried. It's like, you know, if you're going to go through the flow and, you know, you have the experience and everything like that, you'll notice that everything just unflows very naturally and everything's fine, that everything's fine in life. Go ahead.
Yeah, and absolutely, and you bring out a really good point. You know, a lot of us will say, okay, I want a red car, like you said, the blonde, I want a red car, but then we close the door on all these other possibilities energetically. What I like to do is play the wouldn't it be nice game. Wouldn't it be nice to have a beautiful, dependable, reliable car, and then just put it out there like that, and you have no idea what the universe is going to get for you. And the surprises are just wonderful. And having that feeling of gratitude is really important, because nobody wants to complain, or neither does the universe, right? But it's our energy and what we're sending out. If we're sending out that energy, you know, we're going to get something to give us a reason to maybe be disappointed or give us a reason to complain. So we want to have that gratitude.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think another point, this is one of the things I wanted to say before, and I kind of lost it for a minute. The universe knows better what you need than you do. And there, you know, I used to say that basically if I prayed for something and I didn't get it, there's usually three reasons for it. Either A, the timing wasn't right. B, I was being taken out of a situation that would have turned out very badly. Like, you know, I thought, okay, I need to be in this relationship and that's where I need to be. And, you know, in hindsight, I see now it's like, well, thank goodness I got out of that relationship, because look at how it unfolded. So lots of times you will not be given something, or you'll be removed from a situation because you're being, for your own safety, being removed to protect yourself. And the third thing is something really, really big is being lined up for you. And when things are very big and they're very powerful, like, and this goes to the key concept that the universe knows more about what you need than you do, it's amazing to see what shows up. And it could be a relationship, it could be a new job and everything like that. And sometimes I have to say, if you're being delayed in some in some way, that normally means that something really, really powerful is being created for you. So be patient. There's a saying that I have. I'm actually going to read it to you. It says, be brave enough to let go of what no longer serves you, and be patient enough to wait for what you really. It's a really powerful. You can make it a mantra. you can pray to it, you know, or whatever. But really, really understand that a lot of things in life are very, very orchestrated. As a lot of spiritual teachers would say, the universe is not stupid. So if things are happening a certain way, there's a reason for it.
So Mike is the caller, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Mike, can you tell us more what's been going on? Why, you know, what's been going on that you've been trying to get this to manifest?
Sure. So I was let go from my job back in November. So I kind of, you know, was manifesting or trying to manifest a job. And it's kind of funny because sometimes you have to be more specific as what it is that you want. Because I did manifest a job, but just not... it wasn't the right job for me. Like, it was definitely, it just wasn't right. So I
left. And it's much easier to get a job when you have a job. So that could be a foot to the next step. Yes.
And so I started up, and I've done websites for a while now on the side. So I just kind of continued to do that. And more clients came in, and thankfully I got clients right when I needed them, timing wise. Because I was able to clear a lot of debt because of the fact that I was let go from my job. I didn't do anything wrong. that's just the way things worked out. But then I was left with this debt. I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this now, you know? And so I was able to pay off what I needed to, and I got that all done back in May. So I still had some more clients here and there, people that renewed, and I just got more clients coming in. That was really, really good. And I applied to this position, and I was excited because I thought, you know what, maybe I need to not look in my field and look in this other position. So I did. And it didn't end up panning out, but the person that I had reached out to for assistance, it ended up being, and I didn't know this at the time, I had gotten an email when I was volunteering somewhere else from like a hiring manager. And they had said, you should really apply for this other position. So I said, okay. So I did, and I had a phone interview with them. Turns out that the gentleman that I had kind of reached out for some assistance, it turns out that this gentleman is actually the hiring manager for this other position that they're having to apply for.
Excellent.
Yeah. So.
But, you know, the question I would have for you, Mike, is, you know, are you doing what you want to do? I think a lot of people compromise for the sake of money and worrying about bills. When you were let go from that first job, I mean, did you feel relief that you basically got out of something that didn't work for you?
I got relief from it, and I'll tell you why. It wasn't that I didn't like what I was doing, because I can tell you I loved what I was doing. I loved going into work. But I was relieved in that I wasn't stressed, because I didn't have the right equipment that I needed to work properly, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And so I loved my job, but there was just, I always had kind of that back of my mind, I don't have all of the equipment that I need, and if something, you know, if some type of emergency situation were to happen, we wouldn't be able to do what we need to do. And so I'm grateful that I actually got out of that situation and that job, because it was a lot of stress too. I'm very empathic. I pick up on people's emotions, feelings, and so many people at that job were stressed out. And then if they would come to me with their problems, oh, that made my job so much easier.
Yeah, and as an empath and being able to pick up on other people's emotions, sometimes it's difficult to tell if they're your emotions or somebody else's emotions. And one of the things I've learned to do was ask yourself, is what I'm feeling, does this belong to me? And so once you realize that it's somebody else's, that will actually help reduce stress in your body, because your subconscious mind will go, oh, this ain't my shit, and lets it go. So allow yourself to go through that process of asking, because as an empath, you can take on that stuff and it can cause inflammation in the nervous system and give you feelings of anxiety, possibly.
Well, I had a premonition dream. A coworker of mine had moved on to another position at another company, and he was leaving. And I had already known that he was leaving. Well, he actually came to me in a dream, and we were all there in our work environment. And they had announced that he was leaving, and I remember he looked at me and he said, someone else is leaving too, but they're getting fired. He didn't say fired, but he's like, someone else is leaving, it's not just me.
Absolutely. So you knew that that was a dead-end place. You knew that you're going to be moving on subconsciously. So that's a good thing, because your subconscious knows that this is not giving you reason to live. You want to find something like Mark was saying, don't settle. You know, you want to have that passion. Do what you love. Absolutely. And we encourage that. And sometimes people are like, oh my God, this is so hard to do. Do what you love and the rest will come. And sometimes selfless service. I encourage people to do selfless service. Find something where you can give something to somebody else that they cannot repay you for. And this is actually going to expand what I call grace within you. It's an energy. It's kind of like Qigong. We know what Qi is. It's that energy that moves within the body. But this grace, like the gong, part of Qigong, that I call grace, this is something that we have to cultivate, and we can cultivate that through selfless service. And this is also going to, for you, Mike, this is also going to help with your empath abilities.
Okay.
Very cool. Well, thank you for calling in, Mike, and it was great to hear your journey and everything. Best of luck with everything.
Blessings to you, Mike.
Thank you. One last thing. Whenever you come on, there is an echo. I'm sorry, I don't. Oh, you're aware of it?
Yeah, I am. I have to go replace my headset. But thank you for that, Mike. We've had a couple of people notice it. It's funny, I have a noise-canceling headset, and when it starts to go broken, I think in a lot of ways with the energy I do and everything, I blow the poor sucker out of the water. But it's definitely time to replace that. So thanks for the heads up, Mike. So Denise, it's great having you on the show. We went a few minutes over because I wanted to make sure we did some extra time with Mike this evening. Before we let you go and everything, why don't you go ahead and give out your websites to everybody so they know how to find you.
Thank you, Mark. It's DeniseVanVliet.com or inner-harmony-massage.com for services.
Excellent. And if either of you or anybody who's listening to the show, if you're not quite sure what that website is, you can go to www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com, and the links will be up there for a few weeks. For Denise and how you can track her down, and make sure to check out her books out on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Kindle, and all those great places. And Denise, as you can imagine, I always tell everybody it's a quick show, and it's amazing how fast it goes. I thank you for all your insight and a great interview, and I'll finish off with one last question for you before I let you go, and that is, what is the biggest lesson in life you've learned so far?
That we're all here to serve each other.
Yeah, very, very beautiful. And I know you kind of talked to Mike about that a little bit, about doing something without anything in return. So,
absolutely.
And grace is beautiful. Grace is beautiful. So thank you, Denise. It was great having you on, and thank you for being on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Thank you, Mark. Blessings.
All right. Good night, everybody. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. We're on once a month. You can find us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com.